is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to Guardian Radio. This is C.A. Nuri. Today is Friday the 13th, and Jason is about. I saw Jason. And he doesn't walk fast, so it didn't bother me. Because I walk fast. You don't catch me easy. But today, we're continuing our... Aaron looking at me like I'm crazy. We're continuing our conversation, our political conversation. But we're going to try to make it light. I mean, we have one heavy conversation I want to do. However, I want this to be one of those quick call-in type conversations where people call in and participate more. I want our listening audience to call in and say their prediction. I'm going to continue this conversation for next week, maybe even Monday. Their prediction as who you think is going to win this by-election. Will it be close? Will the third-party independent candidate have any influence on the outcome of this election? So this be quick things. You don't come and take up all the time by telling stories. You just come and say, this is what I believe and this is that, to allow more people to predict who you think will be the nominee person for the PLP FNM, right? Just say, I believe it's going to be this person. If you wish, you could do a 30 seconds of reason why, right? So that is what I want to do today. So it's going to be fun because it's not like we know. I'm not sure any of you are clairvoyant or a soothsayer. I know it's Friday 13th and those things happen. But I want to know what the listening audience are thinking, particularly if you're in Freeport. If you're in Freeport, the telephone number is 242-300-5720. If you're in Freeport again, and Bimini, is 242-300-5720. Also, I would like to know, like, which polling division will carry it. Say, well, for this particular party, for sure, your prediction of that. I'm writing some of these things down. So when the result is read in the records, I can say, oh, this particular person said this particular thing, and I call him a soothsayer, and I'll be able to listen to you. He'd be a prophet.
Not Andrus.
Yeah.
I can tell you why. A couple of reasons. Because North Andrus look like they may be gearing up for a by-election as well. But more importantly, geographically, right? Isn't North Andrus sometimes counted with the Berries? Like North Andrus and the Berries. Berry, yeah. And Berries close to Bimini?
But why you say North Andrus and Lex, what do you know, but I don't know? I didn't read any newspaper. I mean, I read newspaper.
And there's a story.
What you read?
A very troubling story in today's Tribune, I think it is. People in North Andrus very upset about their lack of access to consistent electrical supply. In fact, the headline is, our MP is MIA, says North Andrus shop owner as BPL woes continue.
That's one person.
There's plenty of people in North Andrus. I mean, it's only 17 people living in North Andrus in total, but there's plenty of them upset about...
Mind you, I don't remember. It was sadly, I'm just doing tongue-in-cheek. I don't remember who is the Member of Parliament for North Andrus. Right? And being tongue-in-cheek, that means that I don't hear him in the House Assembly. And if your Member of Parliament is in the House Assembly, that's what he's doing. He's busy. What else do you expect him to be doing? On the ground doing what exactly? You want him... The whole Bahamas is lobbying for electricity. You don't think he ain't be no special to get it to Andrus? Because me and Fox have been lobbying for a while.
You all have a whole power station feeding you all. I'm wondering, what's feeding North Andrus? What steps were taken to bring them back to balance after the entire power station burned down in North Andrus?
I hear you.
I'm just saying, geographically and both physical geography and political geography, these guys are in the same region. I bet you they have the same political affiliations. They'd be talking in the same circles because potentially the geopolitical boundaries could shift at any moment, right? And including them in the conversation, knocking them out of the conversation. I'm just saying, throw it on the table.
Yeah, well, I thought you had some kind of insight about some future bias. The other day, we started a conversation. We read into the record. I'm not sure if you still have that paper to read, or we have to paraphrase it.
Right? Which article?
The article with the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party, right? Mr. Frederick Mitchell. Mm-hmm. And he was reading into the record regarding an unknown person, because he didn't call any names, right? On what and recommending what all politicians should do, right? Mm-hmm. He also used some examples of world politicians, global politicians, and what happened when they retired, and what reason why they had retired. And I also want to ask the listening audience, what was the intention of the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party, right? And I'm giving Aaron time to find the article. Mm-hmm. And who does the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party speak for? This latter question is more important because there are a number of politicals, and I mean politicals, I'm meaning persons like Perry Christie, mm-hmm. spoke out against the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party. We had persons like Leslie Miller, a senior former politician who came out and spoke out against and called Mr. Mitchell's name, right? And I'm now asking, who does Mr. Mitchell speaks for?
That's a good question, because in the instance of Leslie Miller, I think up till recently, I can't confirm that it still exists, but I think he had a contractual relationship with the government. He was on the government's payroll, right?
Yeah.
He says make a distinction between the government and the party. The chairman speaks for the party.
So let's explain or interrogate what you mean by chairman speaks for the party.
He's the chairman of the party. He's not the chairman of the government. The chairman of the party has no government function whatsoever.
So when Mr. Mitchell is speaking, he's not speaking as Minister of Foreign Affairs, right? He's speaking officially for the party itself. And he gives some guidelines. He mm-hmm. mentioned that we are following a particular mandate that we agreed to before, which means that those persons who vied for this particular seat during the last election, they have first options to contest or to challenge to get the nominations. So I think that is his position, and which is, the by extension, the party's position.
Now, stick a pin. Mm-hmm. One thing we haven't interrogated yet is that may be the party chairman's position. It may be the party's position, but the party's constitution allows.
And one is guided by the constitution.
One right? should be.
But the final decision is made by the leadership.
No, absolutely. In this instance, what you are looking at is if a party will disregard its constitution for political expediency at a party level, what would they do at the national level? So while it's nothing that we can enforce, we can't go to them and say, hey, you're going to be penalized because you didn't follow your party constitution, it's an indicator for the general public that a party that will disregard its own constitution is likely to disregard the nation's constitution in the function of governance.
There's a term called, nationalist versus patriot. And a nationalist is a person who promotes the nation's agenda, right? And in general terms, and a patriot does what is best for the nation. So sometimes a nationalist will say, man, even though it's not best for the nation, it's good because the nation is benefiting, right? Because we're promoting whatever for the nation. And a patriot saying, even though you're promoting the nation itself, but the country.
Yeah, but the nation's agenda is defined by politicians. What patriots look at is the country as a whole.
Yes, and this is why I'm getting to the point about the executive versus the constitution. The executive might be patriots, looking at the party as a whole. In contrast to when you say, oh, you got to go by the Constitution, we're only looking at the general expedience of what is happening. But we have a call here. The numbers today are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. We're having these quick conversations. We're looking for people from Grand Bahama and Bimini to call today. You're having a quick conversation about predictions. We want to know what type of MP does Grand Bahama need, Grand Bahama and Bimini need, I mean, in particular West Grand Bahama. And we're asking the impact of alternative parties, third parties. Will there be any significance in their presence being there? And we are asking your prediction of who will be represented, either the PLP and FNM. But let's go to
What about the independents?
What about them?
I mean, they're going to be drawing people in, I'm sure.
They already announced their name. Apparently, Lincoln Bean will represent the COI. He's moving all the way from Garden Hills and going to the COI. So I'm not sure if he's ever going back.
We're going to West Grand Bahama.
West Grand Bahama.
Yeah.
And Tennille moving all the way from that too. The, both of them are abandoning their supposed stomping ground and moving to, as driftwood, as seaweed, to Grand Bahama, West Grand Bahama.
All so right. There are a number of other parties.
Like who?
This is the United Christian Movement?
They ain't nominate nobody. Let's go to the callers. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning, CA. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. Morning.
Three very quick predictions for me. Firstly, you asked a very salient question. When the Honorable Fred Mitchell proclaimed that former MPs or parliamentarians would not be eligible, well, I'm using the word eligible, to run into this by-election to contest for the vacant seat, who indeed was he speaking for? Now, that's a very salient question. The second part of that is, you know, does he speak as the party chairman or does he speak in his official capacity as foreign affairs minister, even though we know that there's no correlation between the foreign affairs portfolio and he being the minister with responsibility for that. So it comes down to this point. This is why it's so important to really have a very defining line between influential, crucial portfolios. Like I'm saying to the prime minister, he's holding the prime ministership, the head of all equals in the House, but he's also the minister of finance. So when it comes down to certain policies that the minister of finance should be focused at, how does the prime minister then, how do you separate the role of the prime minister and the minister of finance? So that's something that we need to really, really take seriously, because I am one of those who believe that the prime minister should not be holding the Ministry of Finance under his portfolio. So that's one thing I want to put on the table. Second thing to put on the table, you talk about this by-election. Well, we're not hearing anything about the supposed or even the inclination of a by-election for the Abaco seat. What happened to this story for that MP who's been implicated some stuff?
We getting there.
And my last point then to put on the table is this. You know, we have a country to build. You talk about the patriots and the nationalists. But I'm going to tell you, at the rate we are going right now, nobody seems to be listening to what the average Bahamian on the ground is saying and really taking what we have to say seriously. I can tell you, the only really words I want to hear concerning the vacancy for Grand Bahama and Bimini is going to be interesting to hear what the persons from Grand Bahama and Bimini have to say on this matter, because it is their votes that's going to matter mostly or matter at all best. So it'll be great to keep the lines open and let's hear what they have to say. If they're interested in calling in, we want to hear what the temperature is like on the ground where they are. Thanks for taking my call this morning.
Certainly. Let's run quickly to this next caller that is waiting right now. Caller, can you hear me? Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Yeah?
Hello.
We can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Cecil, and good morning, Aaron. How y'all doing?
Hey, Anton.
Good, thank you.
Thanks for calling again on this busy day.
Yeah. All things considered. And good morning to the nation. A very interesting start to your conversation. I like it a lot. Just for the record, Cecil and Aaron. Look, the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party is also an individual. And, you know, he's also a cabinet minister. and he's also a member of parliament, right? As a citizen, and he can speak from either of those platforms, you know, as he so chooses. But ultimately, Cecil, I don't know what kind of twisting you were seeking to do it, Aaron, but ultimately, the constitution of any body, any organization, any country is the blueprint that gives order, that gives structure, that gives direction to that organization, body, country, or government. And you live and die by that. You don't move the constitution around as you so feel.
So, Anton, a quick question. Was Perry yes. Christie correct when he said Gibson has a right to seek nomination? Was he speaking to a right entrenched by the party constitution?
By all means, former Prime Minister, right, Honorable Perry Gladstone Christie, was absolutely correct. And so was I, because I spoke to the same point in the same vein, right? So Aaron and Cecil, the Constitution is what gives life to the organization.
I have another question for you, Anton.
Go ahead.
Who is Frederick Mitchell speaking on behalf of?
Frederick Mitchell just made an announcement recently, and in the context that he spoke in, he was then speaking as the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party when he stated that the contesting of the seat for the West Grand Bahama and Bimini constituency.
And my next question to you
will be guided by the constitution of the Progressive Liberal Party.
And my next question, Anton, my next question to you is, do you believe that Mr. Mitchell had any conversations with the party leader recently regarding what's going to happen?
I believe absolutely beyond a shadow of doubt, Cecil, Aaron, and the nation, that Aaron, as he is a KC, King's Counsel, one of the leading legal voices, not only in this country, but in this region, a man who he holds the law sacred to his heart, and by all means, he's always guided by the Constitution.
Okay, Anton, let me ask you a question. Do you think Mitchell was speaking to Mr. Gibson or to Mr. Christie when he said that former public figures must know when to move on?
No, Mr. Christie had not entered into the public discussion at that point.
I mean, let's clarify it, because I'm looking at both stories on the
right.
on the same paper, yesterday's
right.
paper, both stories on the same paper, same day.
Right. No. Mitchell's comment regarding what you were talking about, Aaron, came before Mr. former Prime Minister Mr. Christie spoke. The only person who was in the public domain up to that point would have been former Cabinet Minister.
You think Christie is challenging Mitchell?
I think that Christie is speaking to the constitution of the Progressive Liberal Party, which he helped to shape, which he helped to form,
and last question,
also believes in, like Prime Minister Davis.
Last question to you, because we have a couple of callers now, and I want to make sure you get your full time, right?
Okay.
In 2017 and 2022, 2017,
right.
after the Progressive Liberal Party lost, I'm talking about that election,
right.
the party caucus did an evaluation of the party on why they lost, right? And they did it
right.
again on this election, last election, 2021. Do you remember what was one of the prime reasons they mentioned for the reason of their loss?
There were several primary reasons. Why won't you
yeah.
just tell me what you're saying, Cecil, so we can discuss it?
They blame Perry Christie.
Well,
them blaming Perry Christie? I just want to see if you remember that was
no,
happened.
No,
you don't
no,
remember.
No,
let's make
no.
sure.
The reason why I say that, Cecil, is this: the Bahamian people, for decades, up to, and I believe that it changed in the last election, voted out government rather than voting.
You think? Hold on. You think the Bahamian people voted in the PLP last election? That's
absolutely.
What you suggested.
I believe it changed, Aaron, in the last election, and I'll tell you why before I go. I believe that the Progressive Liberal Party was very proactive in pronouncing policies that it will implement, in pronouncing legislation.
What policies? Did campaigners go all wear matching yellow shoes?
No, Manu. Come on, Manu. Let me just point quickly. It was also very proactive in providing solutions to the everyday challenges that we were facing, which the former administration...
What happened to those solutions right now, though? I mean, were they only successful in that period of time post-pandemic? Why are those solutions no longer successful?
Aaron,
I believe, and I'll end with this point. I believe that the recent release by the Department of Statistics, which says that it's all-time low, Aaron.
It also could mean that
20 years. Hold on, Aaron.
But Antoine, that also could mean that more and more people have stopped even trying to get jobs, because those stats only register people who are trying to get jobs.
Cecil, with all due respect, let me just finish the point quickly.
Don't do that, Antoine.
I believe that the recently released statistics from tourism, which states that by the end of this year we would have realized 8 million visitors, an all-time high in this country, speaks to the success of the Progressive Liberal Party. I believe that
Thank you very much. Now you're politicking. And mind you, I want to engage you with this, Aaron. I remember them blaming Perry Christie. I'm not sure if you remember the report calling Mr. Christie's name.
Yeah.
But Antoine didn't remember it at all.
No, I just laugh that we're taking a report produced by the PLP, critiquing the PLP. Those who remain, seriously, I don't.
Yeah.
We need an independent.
I remember.
Yeah. You give me an independent report written by independent people.
Let's go to the next caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Go ahead, caller.
Good day, just in the way. You need justice, law, and order in the Bahamas here.
Good morning, Bremer.
What I want to ask, right?
Yes, morning, sir.
Wonderful. Why you suppose? I was looking for them to put his name just got away from me.
Who just passed away?
Right.
Wilscombe,
OB, right.
Yeah.
What I was looking for them to do is to take his body over to Bimini at least for one couple of hours for the voters to see who they had voted for and who they... so that they would decide who they would want to vote for in this coming election. But I wondered why the governor had not taken him to Bimini for several hours.
I don't know
if you could answer that for me.
No, I don't know. I thought it was appropriate
for them to take him to Bimini because he was representing Bimini.
Perhaps the body is.
Perhaps the body what?
Perhaps the body could not take it in terms.
I didn't hear you.
What Mr. Nuri is saying is it's 2023, and maybe they don't have the technology required to make that route and preserve the 2023.
They could have done it because
they don't even have a fire truck, Bremen. They don't even have a fire truck, Bremen. I ain't being rude. Your expectations. It's 2023. They don't have the technology to maintain fire trucks on these family islands. I'm sure they may be concerned about the integrity of the body and the cost incurred to maintain the integrity while taking it to Bimini.
Yes.
Well, they should have given the Bimini some sort of information. Don't just look over them just like that.
I appreciate that very much, yes. Bremen.
Thank you.
Okay. Absolutely.
Let's go next caller for me, please. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm calling from Grand Bahama.
There you go. The radio is yours. What's happening down there? The radio is yours. We listen to you.
Yes, a pleasant good morning. I don't live in West End, but I live in Central Freeport. And my prediction is that I support Paco Deal, who's a son of the soil, who lives in West Grand Bahama. Who's well known by the people throughout Grand Bahama, and I believe that. And then you asked about constituent whole of West End, Holmes's Rock, and portion of 8 Mile Rock. We'll definitely support Paco Deal. I can't speak fully for Bimini, but I know that Paco would have walked that constituency along with Obi Liscombe on many occasions, and so he's known. He's known. And see, that's the key. You got to be known by the people in those areas. And you got to know their families. You understand? You got to be a son of the soil. You understand? So you can't be from Life and Key trying to go into Bimini and West End. Cannot be. Sorry.
I appreciate you, Cole. You can't be from Life and Key, the gentleman said.
Well, to run in West End and Bimini. I wondered, was the PLP considering pulling people from OB's team? Right? Like... from the campaign team, like the gentleman said, this deal guy walked with him. People are familiar with him as a part of Mr. Wilshkam's campaign, right? And so I wondered if that, or from the executive body itself, and if people on the ground were expecting the names to be pulled from those spaces.
Okay, let's go to the next caller there. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello, go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Could I hear you? You know, in regards to what Brayman was talking about, you know, I really don't understand why he would even expect something like that. But anyway, this, for 20 years, 25 years, they didn't take his body to South Andres. They took his body from the funeral home to the House of Assembly to the Big Jumper Church to the graveyard. Simple. But I think they took Obie to Grand Bahama because that's where Obie's from. Obie's from West End, Grand Bahama, and that's where he's going to be buried. But they did all the formal situations here in Nassau because that's where he spent most of his time working. And from that, you know, another thing on the screen, I was informed that at the death of Obie Wilshkam and Mr. Shane Gibson was in the process of trying to campaign for Mike. Was it Mike Howe?
Yes.
Mike Howe. I was informed that at the death of Obie Wilshkam, Mr. Shane Gibson was given a call and was asked to stand down on Mike Howe. I said he was given a call from the party and asked to stand down for Mike Howe. The next thing surfaced was shortly after that, he was campaigning in Grand Bahama. Suffered to be so. But then before I finish on that, I just wanted to say something. I was telling you on the last show, you said, call back on this show. I was asking your name, Clive Sands. You didn't know. Clive Sands was born on October 13, 1951. Came from Exuma, went to Eastern Senior, went to St. Augustine's, grew up in Centerville in East Avenue, Centerville, went from St. Augustine's off to Iowa State, ran the 100 and the 200. In college, he used to eat Hazy Crawford. You know Hazy Crawford, who won the gold medal?
No.
Hello?
No, I don't know that person.
No, Miss Green, you should know Hazy Crawford. I think from Barbados or Trinidad somewhere. He won the gold medal in the Olympics.
Corinne Mitchell wouldn't let me off the side porch, Sparky.
Clive Sands also represented the Bahamas in the 1976 Olympics in Canada. He ran the 1 and the 2.
Okay,
he made it to the quarterfinal.
What we'll do is save that for Fridays when Aaron doing sports. Because I ain't talking sports. You know, I don't watch no type of sports at all, Aaron. I just don't find it entertaining.
Just rowing and running out.
Yeah, I just get tired watching. You know, I said, why are the people sweating? You know, why? But I still want to go into the newspaper and read that article about which the chairman of the Progressive Labour Party, Sparky, indicated that Mr. Gibson would have given him that phone call. Would have been the chairman of the Progressive Labour Party, Frederick Mitchell, to call Shane Gibson and say, hey, go ahead, run, and I'll object for you for some kind of material. Would it have been a Philip Davis to say, hey, go ahead, run, and I'll have Fred Mitchell object to it?
Who would have?
It doesn't make sense. Who would have made that phone call?
Right. Who would have been prompted by the unfortunate circumstance leading to a by-election? Who would have been prompted to call Gibson and tell him stand down in Michael?
Yeah, the audacity.
Surely, if I didn't want him to run in West Grand Bahama, I would tell him keep doing what you're doing in Michael. You got a good shot. Mm-hmm. You got a good chance. It's likely the party gonna accept this effort, mm-hmm. right? So it's very interesting. Who would have told him? This, I could see somebody call him and say, hey, this is an opportunity, but to stand down.
Initially, when we were debating, we were having a discussion on who Fred Mitchell speaks for on behalf of. And I indicated that more than likely, Fred Mitchell, the chairman of the Progressive Labour Party, had to have a conversation with the leader of the party. The leader, who is very competent in the KC, is definitely listening to a Frederick Mitchell at this present time, right? He knows what Fred Mitchell is doing on behalf of the party. If the leader mentioned had any objection to it, he would have voiced it by now, say, hey, you're going too far now. I hear what you're saying. However, this is what I want. And you as a chairman who serves technically under my...
Why you say technically?
Because the chairman got elected. He wasn't appointed.
So how did the leader get there?
He was elected.
So they were both elected?
Yeah, they were both elected. But
so how did the leader of the party more important than the chairman?
Yeah, but in terms of the politicking of the party.
But this is how you started, right? Mm-hmm. Who's in charge? Is it the chairman? Who's in charge of party business? Is it the chairman? Is it the leader of the party?
It's the chairman who's in charge of the party business. This is why I find it odd that the part of the machinery is challenging the chairman, not realizing that he is the penultimate in terms of the machinery, or supposed to be, the machinery and the running and enforcing the constitution, and the mechanism is working, right? And the way that they approach or having that conversation with him is kind of iffy. And I said, clearly they don't either appreciate.
Well, how could they? How could they? I mean, with all the training, with all of the references to the and for the purposes of this conversation, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things that the chairman of the party referenced was the training module offered by the party to prepare candidates for the last election. Suggested that those who offer or will be selected, that person who is selected for the by-election will have come up through that training module. But they didn't learn that there's no office of the DPM created by the Constitution?
But I hear the music playing.
Sure, they don't know the difference between the chairman and the leader of the party. They don't know that there's no DPM in our constitution.
I want to ask you this before, as the music plays. Do you believe whosoever wins this by-election will win the general election? Is this an indicator, or this is just an independent election all by itself? That's one of the questions we'll be asking on the next side of this break. We're on Guardian Radio AM. Of course, this is C.A. Nuri. We are rapping about what is going to our predictions for the by-election. We're talking about the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party and his utterance recently and his announcement and his voice note. And reference, who was he meaning?
I just want you to reiterate, Fred and Frederick is the Minister of Foreign Affairs.
Two different ones, eh?
Two different people.
And who is Honey Boo? Boo. Anyway, we'll be right back after this break.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them, and they use that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
It's the Battle of the Bra, sponsored by Canoe. And you decide who wins. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so strap on your gloves and join the fight. It's easy. Just download the Canoe app, vote for Mammogram Access Program, the Grand Bahama Cancer Society, or Sister Sister, or go to the Battle of the Bra event page on Facebook and vote. Each vote is just $5. Polls open on October 2nd and close on October 26th. Vote as many times as you want. You can even vote for all three. It's the Battle of the Bra. The winner will be announced on Friday, October 27th at the Pink Lotus Affair at Blair House.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm alright song.
Hey.
And welcome back to Guiding Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, Aaron Green was with me. We are entertaining predictions, right? Whether the third party, alternative party, will make an impact. And Aaron, do you, mind you, they say the COI is on the move. I was bewildered. I was shocked to know that the leader is being said to be, is going to be representing the party in West Grand Bahama when he has already made an impact in Garden Hills.
Yeah.
So I want to know what was in their mind to see, to have him move.
Desperation.
Desperation?
It has to be. It's a poor move. You destroy your campaign before you start it. You build and empower to put the candidate you had in that seat. You build and empower the candidate that you had in that seat. You're not reading the room properly. Third parties do have an opportunity to make an impact in this election. The third party presents itself as an opportunity for the ordinary voter and disgruntled executive party members, right? Parties, members of the executive structure at the constituency level. You give them an opportunity to express their displeasure with the FNM or the PLP.
We've had third party members who have skip hop and go to wherever there is an election. If it's in Bimini, they'll go Bimini. If it's in South Andres, they'll go South Andres. If it's in Acklands, they'll go Acklands.
Yeah.
Right? Has their viability?
Well, this is what I'm saying. First of all, For a party like the COI that's attempting to show us that they are fielding candidates in every constituency, they're a real party, right? They're serious about this. What you're showing me is that you're not a real party. You don't have consistency throughout the archipelago, right? Your independents, right, because the coalition of independents aren't performing at the same level. See, that's the next thing. How do you maintain this coalition of independence construct when you, the party leader, is going to come in and take over a seat that was previously held by a member of your party?
And will he stay there after the by-election in terms of, this is my now...
Well, what are you going to do? You mean, will he reside in West Grand Bahama?
No, to say that this is my new base in terms of campaigning if he doesn't win this election.
So, but what else would he do? If he have to give up the seat, they call another by-election. Or are you suggesting at the next general election,
he makes a
switch? That diminishes the capacity of the party even further.
Mm.
It diminishes... First of all, the whole premise of your party is that you bring in people from the ground up.
Mm.
You had nobody from the ground up in West Grand Bahama and in Bimini.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't focused on building a platform or a campaign. What have you been doing for the last 2.5 years? Even for an opportunity for your leader to get into the house? It diminishes it. They should run. They should offer a candidate. And it should be the same person that ran in the election, in the general election. They should have been working on their campaign.
Mm.
This should just
be an indication that they weren't doing that.
Or
the party only has technically three members.
Or that the party leader thinks that they can come in and capitalize on the hard work of that independent. But what they manifest, what they expose, is that they are just doing the same thing that they accuse the PLP and the FNM are doing.
Hmm. Let's briefly talk with the FNM in terms of, at one point in time, similar to what Perry Christie did, give his advice. Yeah. As a former prime minister, Hubert Ingraham gave his advice as a former prime minister in terms of what should happen. If it was me, basically, I would have done this as the leader, right? You know, so far I only heard one name, maybe one and a half, because they did do Prakisha Parker, Miss Prakisha Parker, and they did the head name of the bishop, right?
Yeah, Grant. Yeah,
I'm not sure. What do you think about Christians, born again, and who has a mandate from God? God told them that their mandate is to go ye therefore and preach the word and baptizing people, but they decide to pause for 2 minutes.
They have a difficult time reconciling biblical principles, government principles, parliamentary principles, and integrity. They just have a difficult time finding that balance. It's going to be very difficult. How do you prioritize God over the Constitution?
Has there been
in a function as a government minister?
Well, we've had several MPs who were reverend,
pastors
in church. They had a congregation, right? Yeah. I'm not sure if they preach anymore. If they frontline pastors and backline pastors, or have they retired from God?
So you don't have to retire from God to join politics. You just have to find the right balance of integrity, right? You need to be able to say, like I give you an example, Melanie Griffin. Griffin, right?
Yeah.
Yamacraw?
Yeah.
Yamacraw, right? During the gender equality referendum, talking to her about some things that were unfolding, and she said, I just want you to know that I'm aware of the tension. I'm aware of the contradictions. My work as a religious figure, right? And my work as a government minister, a religious minister and a government minister. And I'm aware
of... She was a pastor?
I think so, but she held...
She I may thought have she
been,
was just saved.
I think she may have been a backline, like you say, like a backline as opposed to a frontline. Mm-hmm. But she said, I every day have to consider the balance, right? What is required of me as a woman of God and what is required of me as an upholder of the Constitution. And as she's one of the only politicians that I've heard enunciate that, say that out loud, say, hey, this is something not that I struggle with, but that I have to assess regularly, if not daily. And I don't know why politicians have a problem saying that, because we understand that that is the work.
What are the issues in West Grand Bahama and Bimini? Are there any issues? Should these issues be put in the fore to say, well, these, as a contending person vying to be a the member of parliament,
yeah,
these are the issues this particular constituency is dealing with.
Right.
Will they come with that, or they come with a national plan? So, well, we, the PLP, we, the FNM, this is our national plan, but we don't necessarily have a plan for West Grand Bahama.
Well, I'm getting that's sort of what's happening, right? I mean, look at it. The national executive body came into the political space and said, we can tell you who you're going to vote for, right? That's simple. So I imagine that you're going to have that same presentation. Because if they had a grasp of what was needed, then that's you're halfway to your solution. The people on the ground working with OBI is who you put in place to continue that work of what's needed. Now, looking in from the outside, because I haven't heard a specific agenda from voters on the ground that they expect to be addressed, they ain't got no fire truck in Bimini. They need a fire truck. The houses are built so close together, I wonder how the insurance policies work there, if those homes are actually insurable, and whether anybody on the ground is looking into that, since they ain't got no fire truck. They need a fire truck. I imagine that in the West Grand Bahama area, poverty is a big deal. Access to land and affordable and safe housing is a big deal. People who are displaced due to continual damage and impact by hurricanes on their homes and their communities, that's a big deal. Employment is a massive deal. What's happening with the GB Grand Bahama Port Authority, and I imagine one of the issues is, why is the Port Authority consuming so much time and energy and resources? Jobs spill out of that economic zone. I think that's a big issue.
So you think there should be interrogation of that, or whoever is selected, whoever's going to be representing the PLP and the FNM, right, and by extension the COI and whatever else party,
the power,
they should address these pertinent questions was resonant with those this community.
Well,
I'm not necessarily national conversations.
Right, but I'll say this, that if the national executive machinery is going to send a candidate down into this constituency for the people to vote for, then that candidate at least has to be armed with what's on the ground, what are the needs on the ground in Grand Bahama. I mean, the power, Grand Bahama Power Authority, people say, oh, we're better than Nassau, but the prices, people are constantly complaining about the cost of the power in Grand Bahama. The roads are a big issue. The fishing hole in the bridge is still a big issue. And then they got another big issue brewing, apparently, on the island. I'm not exactly sure where, but it should be of concern for West Grand Bahama and Bimini. Residents are concerned that there's not sufficient oversight and enforcement of environmental and industrial regulations when it comes to blasting, and people are concerned that they may begin experiencing damage to their homes again. These are all issues that whoever is selected is prepared to address.
You mentioned cost, right? How much money should be spent on this campaign in the by-election?
Very little. They should.
Is there such a thing as too much money being spent in West
Grand Bahama?
Yeah, yes.
There's such a thing as too much money being spent?
On the campaign, yes. Spend the money on the actual infrastructural work. See, it's just like how I talk about charity versus structural reform. Politicians want to be out at cookout and thing, and all the, and they won't complain. Oh, the people keep coming to me to help them with their medical care because you won't help and fix the hospital. And in the same way, don't spend the money in the campaign. Spend the money in actual solutions for the people you represent.
So no money bag, you're saying? Don't bring the money bag? No money in the T-shirt?
No.
Man, operate with integrity. You don't want to win. You don't
want to
win.
No, I want integrity to win.
But I want my money bag to come. I want my T-shirt with the $20 in it.
Go do that somewhere else. Don't do that in a by-election.
No, I want to do it in my constituency, West End.
Yeah, but you don't need a by-election to do that. Go do that somewhere else.
It's not a buy. It's like a rental type thing.
It's a rental election, eh?
It's like, because you can't buy me, because I could change my mind last minute. Rental. I like rentals.
I don't even see I'm an equal opportunity advocate. I don't think we should be swinging politicians either.
Okay,
just stop swinging.
Before we go, what about
this? Sir.
The campaign machinery of the party. Should we bring Nassau people and Bimini and
for what?
House them to campaign?
For what?
No?
No.
They have the expertise.
In what? The handing out bags?
The PLP war room, the FNM war room needs
to
be
shut
moved.
Them down. You know who could do it some load shedding? The PLP war room and the FNM war room. Shut them down. It's 2023. We're not going to act with integrity yet? What's happening? We're not going to act with integrity yet? The most embarrassing thing ever is that it's 20... I mean, besides it's 2023 and people turning right on red and then looking at you and laughing.
You're trying to say, I'm a professional politicaler. You say that word? A professional
politicaler.
Right? You're going to leave me home in Nassau and not take me to Bimini?
You could pay your own way. You could pay your own way.
The machinery pays for me.
No, then. Stay home.
Because I know what type of questions to ask. I know how to get people to vote.
No. Stay home.
You're going to trust this election with the Bimini?
Even if you could pay your own way, don't come to Bimini. Or Grand Bahama. They ain't got no fire truck in Bimini.
You can trust this election with the
Are you going to bring a fire truck with you?
No.
Stay home, then.
Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, Aaron Green. Thank you very much.
Yeah, man.
Happy Friday the 13th. Don't get catched by Jason.
Right? No.
Enjoy your weekend. Hannah Hasty Tynes thing is on the weekend.
Grill and Chill Fundraiser, number 53 Coral Harbor Road. Come and join us 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. Watch the sunset next to the bonfire. Eating some roast corn.
That's Sunday, right?
Sunday.
And everyone who's Hannah Hasty Tynes got to show up.
Come up. Come out. $5 entry. Children free. Under 12.
Anyway, that's that. Have a wonderful day.